Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, to whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Place on the King James Radio Network. Corbett Thompson here at jamesisking.com. Also on Facebook, you can look us up under the name King James Radio Network, and on Twitter at King James Radio 1, the number 1. This is a service of Restoration Christian Ministries out of North Brunswick, New Jersey, which features Pastors John and Darlene Bazemore. This week on Restoration Place, we talk about the fact that the Word is alive, and all you have to do is go to one verse, which is the book of Mark, Chapter 4, verse 14, and Pastor Bazemore will explain that in further detail. But words, of course, carry power, you know, and Jesus declared himself the Word, you know. Words carry power, and, you know, for anybody that's spoken, whether it be a right word or a wrong word, you know, it can carry just as much weight either way. So I'll let Pastor B explain it a lot better than I can. Again, the Word is alive on this edition of Restoration Place.
Restoration Christian Ministries presents Pastor John Bazemore, Jr.
Amen. God is faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. At this time, we're going to stand to our feet one more time, and we're going to get ready to receive our man of God. And we're going to greet him with a hearty amen.
Amen.
I'm really excited this morning to share the words, like Darlene said, and I echo her sentiment. I miss when we're not here. I miss the fellowship more than anything. So I'm just excited to be here again today. And I want to share with you from the word of the Lord. If this is what a pregnant woman feels like, don't look at me like that, because I know I'm not a woman. But if this is what a pregnant woman feels like in expectation of that child, then I can certainly relate to that, because I am so pregnant with God's purpose on this morning. I can feel this purpose coming through the birth canal, and I'm excited. There's an excitement that I have now that I haven't had in years. I just see the evidence of what God is doing, and it encourages me. Every once in a while, the enemy will try to throw a loop. He'll try to hit you, give you an uppercut, but every time I just shake it off and say, that's all you got. I'm good. I'm excited for what God is doing. I want you guys to be excited. I want you to be watching. There are things that are happening around you that some of you may not be aware of because the enemy is trying to blind you.
Yes.
So remove the blinders and see what God is doing. Amazing things are happening. I'm telling you, amazing things. Just like God said, all of 2015, particularly at the end of 2015. Now, I don't know about you, but I am seeing the evidence of it. And I love evidence. How many of y'all love evidence?
Amen.
I love evidence. So I'm just excited today. So I'm going to be as calm as the Spirit of the Lord will allow me to be. But I'm telling you, when you listen, I don't know, but I've heard, because I have 5 children. So I've been through the process a few times. So I've seen it's kind of crazy, because there is pain and then there is excitement happening at the same time.
Amen.
I mean, the woman is in pain. I mean, it's not really advisable to hold her hand while she's going through those labor pains, because she would probably crush it because of the pain. But at the same time, she's ready to embrace this new child that God has blessed her with. So I am at the point right now, though I do feel some pain, I am so ready to embrace what God is birthing in me. How many of y'all are just excited about it? I am so excited about it. So I want to share with y'all today. So we're going to, first of all, I just want to say thank you for the birthday greetings. We've got Oh my gosh, so many of them from you guys, from our friends and associates and family on Facebook. So I want to thank all of you for your birthday greetings. You know, I'm having these dangerous birthdays naturally. These are dangerous. You know, you said 64, and I'm like, next year I'll be 65. Oh my God! But I feel so good.
Amen.
I feel absolutely amazing. So I'm just excited for life. I'm excited for what God is doing. I'm excited, Pat, to be living the promise right now. That is such a good feeling. I am living the promise right now. So it feels good. So bow your head. Stop looking at me. Bow your head. We're going to pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We come before you with praise and thanksgiving, worshiping you because you're worthy, adoring you because we love you. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would set the atmosphere in this place. Spirit of the living God, we invoke your presence here right now. We bind wicked spirits, demonic spirits that will come against the word in the name of Jesus. Ministering angels, I pray in charge that you protect this word, guard this word, with the power that God has given from on high. And we believe that signs and wonders and healing and deliverance will follow this word. I voluntarily decrease, Holy Spirit, that you may increase. And I pray and ask it in Jesus' name, and I thank you. Amen.
Amen.
So we're excited again. You might have your seats. We're excited for what God is doing. I want to share with you this word today. And I'm so excited about it. I'm just excited about, I'm telling you, I'm just so full of life right now. I am so excited for where the Lord has me and where the Lord has taken us. You may not be able to see it right now, but I want you to be encouraged. Listen, the leader cannot be blessed. It's impossible for the oil to be poured on the leader without it trickling down to those who are following. So I'm excited for that, and if you can't see it yet, I'm going to be excited for you until you can get excited for yourself. So I got that kind of energy right there. I'm telling you, I'm so full of energy right now because I see the end, and it looks good. For those of y'all that can't see it, I'm telling you, Shirley, it looks good. It looks good. What does that song say? The gift that looks good on you? Man, I know exactly what he means right now. I'm feeling this thing. Oh, y'all both somebody. Oh, we bless you, God. How many of y'all know that God's glory is just in this place right now? I'm telling you, I feel the glory of the Lord in this place right now. I know that God's angels are protecting us. You know, sometimes it's hard to fight through what the enemy is doing, but I can tell that the angels are stationed around and blocking all of those hindrances because the glory is in this place. That's how you know the glory of God is here. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 4. I'm going to read one verse, and then I'm going to stop for a minute. I'm going to read one verse, but then I'm going to stop for a minute because I want to make sure, because many times when we get to this parable, we skip over this part and we kind of glaze over it, but I want to stop because the Spirit of the Lord showed me on last evening other verses that tie into this that I never realized before, so I want to share that with you. Now, Mark 4 and 14, I believe it is. Let me be sure. Yeah, Mark 4 and 14. Now listen to what it says. Very simple. I love simple. The sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. So now, what does that mean? I mean, because we've heard this parable so many times, and we're going to talk about it, but before we can talk about the rest of the parable, we need to understand what the Lord means when he says the sower soweth the word. What is the significance of sowing the word? What does it mean when it says word? I mean, what is the significance of all of this? Because, I mean, if it's just a verse that's in the Bible to precede something else that's going to be said, then it doesn't even really make sense to read the verse. But if the verse is here, then obviously there is some significance that God has placed on this verse. The sower, that means a person that is given, a person that it's not just talking about money. But a person that is giving, they're always looking to give. So the most important thing that a sower can sow is the word of God. So now, why is that important? Let's go in your Bibles to Hebrews 4 and 12. Hebrews 4 and 12. I never really got the significance, but tying these two verses together, it really explains the not only the significance of the word, but the importance
of sowing the word and the importance of realizing how powerful the word of God is. Verse Hebrews 4 and 12 reads, "For the word of God is quick and powerful." Now, translated, that means the word of God is living and is active. The word of God is alive. So now, the sower sows something that's living and active. There's nothing dead about the word of God. The word of God is living and is active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So now, you know, you got to catch this. The word of God is alive. So what is it? What does an alive word do? It divides your soul and your spirit. Why? Why is it important for the word of God to divide the soul and the spirit? Well, now you got to understand. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, but he lives in our spirit. He does not live in our soul. The spirit, you know what the new creation is? It's when your spirit and the Holy Spirit joins together. That's the new creation. Otherwise, you got the same dead spirit that mankind had once they sinned. But now, when the spirit of the living God joins together with your spirit, your ability to commune with God, it becomes alive again. So now, that's why it says the word of God is living, because it needs to bring life to people that are dead, and that's us. So the word of God is living and is active. I do not believe, let me tell you this, I don't believe that anybody that's operating in the word of God can operate in dead things. There is something about the word of God that brings activity and life to things that are dead. If you're involved in something and it's dead, bring the word of God in it. That will bring life in it. The word of God is living. The word of God is active. It's moving. It's doing something. I just have a problem with things and people that, you know, they tell me they're waiting on God, but Pat, they're not doing anything. That's not possible, because the word of God is living and is what? It's active. It's doing something. So the word of God is always in the accomplishment mode. When you apply the word of God to your life, to your circumstances, to your family, to your finances, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's dead, how many of you know the word of God brings life to it?
Amen.
So now you want to know, how do I get out of this financial quagmire that I'm in? Put the word in it.
Yes.
Look at your neighbor and say, put the word in it.
Put the word.
You just got to put the word in it. The word of God is living. The word of God is active. There's something alive about it. Now listen, dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So now, we said before, your soul is your intellect, your will, your emotions. That's what your soul is. It lets you know who you are. It recognizes that you have the capability to communicate with others. Now, but Trey, just having a soul is not good enough. Because now, if you got a soul to communicate with me and you don't have nobody, I don't want to talk to you. You know, that's what ghosts do. But now we have a body. The body was given to mankind for the mere thing of communicating. We need to be able to see one another in this earthly realm so that we can communicate with one another. But now we are charged to use the word of God, because the word of God is what? The word of God is what? Living and active. So you guys paying attention today? Let me say it again. The word of God is living and active. So now, it divides soul and spirit. So now, your soul is your ability to communicate with one another. It's where your intelligence lies.
Yes.
It's when you go to school, it gives you the ability to be able to learn. But now your spirit is how you commune with God.
Yes.
You don't commune with God in your soul. That's why if you go to God group, emotional, that doesn't move God. What moves God is the spirit of God that lives in your spirit that gives life to your words. So now, the Holy Spirit, Sharice, gives life to your word. Now, if you're a believer, you are a believer, right?
Absolutely.
If you're going through a dead, have you ever been through a dead season in your life?
Yes.
Where things are just not happening?
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. Many times we, I'm sorry, that was me stepping on the court. Many times we just don't remember to put the word of God, apply the word of God to our lives. Listen, I received a credit card in the mail, the MasterCard. So now, the card had money on it. It had $300 or $350 on it. But now here's the thing. I think I might have it here in my wallet. Let me do some show and tell. So I got a credit card with a MasterCard. So now it came to me with money on it. But now, Trey, this does me no good. Walking around saying, yo, I got a credit card, dog. I'm good. I'm ready. Yeah, but if I don't activate the credit card, how many of y'all know it does not work?
Yeah.
If you've got an ATM card, first thing they tell you, they have a little sticker on there. And then on the sticker, it says, to activate this card, call this number or go online and do this. Now, if you do not activate it, it does not work.
Yes.
So now the word of God is in you. You have the ability to use it, but now you have to plow. There you go. Come on now. That's my daughter. He's talking about show and tell. Now, look. My God. The Holy Ghost used this so awesome. What that thing that's in capital letters on this card? What does it say in capital letters, Cheryl?
Activate your card.
Activate. I rest my case. You know what? I can sit down right now. It says activate your card.
Yes.
Because
yes.
If you do not activate it, guess what? It does not work.
Yes.
The word of God is living and is active.
Yes.
It's powerful.
Yes.
But now you got to activate it for it to work. Because listen. The enemy does not care about how mad you get. You can get mad at the enemy, get mad at the devil. I'm tired of the devil doing this to me. Oh, please stop crying. He don't care.
Mm-hmm.
He does not care. All that does is edge him on even more. When you show any sign of weakness, that gives the enemy strength. You know how faith, you know, moves God to move on your behalf? Fear does the exact thing of the enemy. When he sees you afraid of your circumstances or what might happen, that gives him even more onus. It gives him even more power. But now what makes him afraid is not your tears or not your anger, but it's your faith. When you say, I'm going to activate the word of God,
yes,
and you do just like Jesus said, it is written.
Yes.
Now, he's the Son of God. But now, he has to be an example of how powerful the word of God is, so that at this time, 2,000 years later, we can still say, actually, it is written.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
That is what the enemy obeys.
Yes.
That is what he recognizes.
Yes.
That is what empowers us. That is what makes him powerless.
Yes.
It's the word of God. Why? Because it's living.
Yes.
And it's active. And the word of God abides and rests in our spirit. That's why the soul and the spirit have to be separated by what? The word of God.
Amen.
Are y'all getting this?
Amen.
My God,
amen.
I think my excitement is more powerful than my message. But I'm excited. Now listen. And it's a device, soul and spirit. Now listen, and joints and marrow. Now, your joints is sort of like the things that's at the top surface. How many of you have ever had joint aches? Now, you know, I can repent. You go and raise a hand. Ruth, you better raise that hand, girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Y'all know we have joint aches. Joint aches. But now the marrow is the bone that's below the joints. So now, listen, I want you to get this. When the Bible says it separates soul and spirit, joint and marrow, that means the word of God goes deeper than the regular person can see.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, your emotions can only go to the surface. But now the word of God, it digs deep, Cheryl. It gets down in there where nobody knows. You don't even know what's going on in there. But the word of God, because it's alive and it's active, it gets below where your problems are.
Amen.
See, you're dealing with your problem that you can see. But now what the word of God does, actually, it goes beneath what you are able to see and recognize. The word of God immediately goes to the spirit. The spirit gives life to that dead part in you.
Yes.
And though you can't see it, if you believe it, it'll go away.
Yes.
I keep telling you, I am so waiting.
My God.
Let me tell you something. We're going to be in here one day preaching the word. And all of a sudden, let me prophesy. That young man, that prophet, is going to start yelling his mama's name. Mommy, mommy, mommy,
yes,
mommy,
yes,
mommy,
yes,
because the limbs are growing,
yes,
and growing,
yes,
and growing, because the word of God is living and active.
Yes,
listen,
yes,
there is no atmosphere where the enemy tries to live that can stand against the force of all of us agreeing as one by faith,
yes,
and applying the word of God.
Yes.
Do y'all know what would happen if we just so happened to come in here one Sunday and start applying the word of God through our praise?
Yes.
goes deep.
It goes deep.
Now listen, so let's go back to this. Now let's do this. One more verse I want you to look at. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 9:6. My favorite verse that I like to read during offering time when Pastor Darlene is going to speak, then I get to read my favorite verse. Now listen to what it says. He which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So, translation, if you give a lot, you get a lot back. That's the translation. Period. I mean, that's the word of God. It's going to be that way. Every man, now listen, every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, think about this. The sower sows the word. So now, sowing is giving. Someone asked me before, what kept you on Facebook all of these years? I get a chance to get to sow the word.
Yes.
I mean, that's easy. Every single day, I'm sowing the word. Now, a lot of people may not get it or understand it. I don't have to see the evidence of it, but I know the word of God doesn't lie. God is not a man that he can lie, neither is he the son of man that he has to repent. So if it's in the word of God, it has to happen. So I sow the word every day because I believe the word of God is living and is active.
Yes.
Now, when I was listening to Corbett's testimony, I thought about that. I said, you know, sometimes the things that we are doing, it seems so insignificant at the time.
Yeah.
But years later, again, I reminded Darlene of this a few months ago. This guy that I ran track with, Willie Pearson, he was the second fastest guy in high school. Because y'all know who was the fastest. But we actually used to go back and forth. I mean, he was an amazing athlete. I talked to Willie last year. I had not talked to him since, I think Willie was 19. We were both 19. As a matter of fact, he's a year older than me. So I think I was 19 and he was 20. That's the last time I had communication with him. And can you believe it? At 63, we reconnected again on Facebook.
Wow.
He said something to me, Pat, that just totally took me off guard, but I'm reminded of it because of Corbett's testimony. He said, you know, John, he said, if I was in front of you right now, I would put $100 bill in your hand. So I was just like, okay, are you rewarding me for whooping up on you on the track so much? He said, but he said, you don't understand. He said, you don't even remember, do you? I said, I had no idea what you're talking about. I said, remember what? He said, do you remember all of those times we go to track meets and, you know, your mom and dad would give you money or they'd give you food, you know, to eat, you know, like right after the meet? He said, you knew I never had anything. He said, you would always tell your mom to make an extra sandwich for me. I had completely forgotten about that. It just wasn't something that was that significant. I mean, she was making me a sandwich and Pearson was my boy, so you just, or made Willie one as well. I didn't think twice about it. But little did I understand, Therese, what he was going through at the time. He had nothing. He didn't even have bread to make, forget the meat to put in between. He didn't even have bread to make a sandwich. But you know, the little insignificant things that we do, this is why the word of God talks about the rewards that we're gonna receive in heaven. When Jesus told the story, he said, When I was sick, you didn't visit me. When I was sick, you didn't come and attend to me. When I was in jail, you didn't come to visit me. He said, but when I was in jail, he said to some, you came to visit me. When I was sick, you came and ministered to me. He said, they said, Lord, when did we do this? Now, you got to understand, they're standing before the judgment seat of Christ. When you've done it to the least of these, my little ones, it's just like you're doing it unto me. So we got to understand, when we sow the word of God in faith, it may look as though it's God dropping to the ground and it's not impacting anyone, but years later, people will come back to you and say, you don't know, just like his testimony, you don't know how important it is, the thing that you shared, how it just kept me encouraged,
yes,
and kept me,
yes,
going one more day.
My God.
Now he that ministers seed to the sower. Now, I want you to get this, because some people are wondering, why is it that somebody actually asked me on Facebook the other day, and you might be able to read it, I think it's on my page, I don't think they inboxed me. Pastor Bain, I don't understand, why are you so blessed right now, and I'm still struggling? Well, first of all, I'm not the blesser. I mean, you know, I wanted to, Trey, you know, I wanted to go through the airways, and just, because people don't understand your journey. Rashawn, when people understand what you've been through, you know, how hard you've labored, and now you're in your reaping season, and they want to know, well, I want to know why I'm not getting blessed. First of all, God gives seed to the sower, which means this. If you have no intention on being a blessing to anyone else, don't expect God to give you seed. He gives seed to the sower. Let me say that again. God gives seed to those that want to be a blessing to somebody else. That's what the word of God says. God gives seed to the sower. Now, understanding this, it's going to help you now. I promise you, you're going to have a clear understanding of this story now that I'm going to spend the next 8 minutes and I'm going to be done. 12:25, I'm going to be done. Y'all don't watch the clock, y'all. Because I know how y'all folks are. I love y'all Cushites. So now, the sower sows the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Now, you got to understand. You got to get that the word is sown. So now, you get it? The word of God. Now, the word wasn't sown by the people that received it. The word was sown by the sower. Because the sower, what? Sows the word. So the word of God was sown. But when they heard it, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, he comes when?
Immediately.
He doesn't wait. Listen, when he can see that you have fertile ground, and he knows that if this seed gets down in that tree and starts germinating, he's got a problem. Because now, not only are you going to be blessed, because here's what God does. God blesses you so that you can be a blessing.
Amen.
Do y'all get that?
Amen.
He blesses you so that you can be a blessing.
Amen.
So the biggest fear that the enemy has is when he blesses you, that seed germinates on the inside and it starts, an overflow begins to pour out.
Yeah.
That was sown in their heart. And these are they which are sown, they're still sown. The sower is still, now get this. The sower is not the one that the word is being sown to. The sower is the one that God has given seed to. So he is all, a sower, a Rashad is always looking for a place to give. That's what people that get. They're always looking to be a blessing. And this is why they never run out of money. Because they're always looking to give. And how many of y'all know that God is not going to allow you to outgive him?
Amen.
You know, you give good measure. But what does God give? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You can never outgive him. So he constantly gives seed to the sower. So it's a constant cycle. The people that have will always have, because the people that have will always want to give.
Amen.
Do y'all get this?
Yeah.
So now let's get back to the word. So now, and these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. But now here's the thing. The word of God doesn't take root because it's sown on stones. Now, most of you are not from the South, but you know the principles of harvest. You don't sow seed. Let me ask you, Trey, because Trey is my... Trey is the guy that will be like, yo, Pastor Ben, got a question about what you said Sunday. That's Trey. Trey keeps me honest. But now, Trey, let me ask you this. Talking about seed. You know, we know we've talked about seed before. So does it make sense? I mean, just not forget the spiritual. Does it make sense in the natural to put seed down if you're going to grow grass in a place that's full of rocks? What do you do? You say it again, man. Come up here with your pastor. Come up here with your pastor. Come on up here, man of God. That's my man. Talking that down south stuff, and he know he's from New Jersey. You better go ahead with that, man. Alright, Trey, so now, if the ground has rocks in it, he's waving at everybody that's listening to this. If the ground has rocks in it, you don't put a seed there, right? So now, I want you to say loud again, what should you do?
Turn over the ground.
What does that mean?
It means you're breaking the ground up so that the seed can get down into the ground.
And the church said,
amen.
Did y'all hear what he said? You're breaking the ground up.
Yes.
You're removing hindrances,
yes,
that will keep your seed from growing.
Yes.
And then you dig down in, you put the seed there where the sun can't scorch it, but the sun can still be a blessing to it.
Amen.
Not just the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. Y'all better get it. but it's got to, the ground, if it's full of rock, if it's full of things that will keep your seed from growing, you've got to get those things out of the way.
Amen.
Do y'all get this?
Yes.
It says, so now, this seed, they were so anxious. Here's one of the things that happens, Pat. People tickle me because God will give them seed, and then they eat the seed, and then they wonder why they're not getting no more food. But see, if you have an orange, and there is seed, how many of y'all know there's seed in an orange?
Yeah.
So now, if you've got one orange, and you get so excited about that one orange, and you eat the orange and swallow the seed, well, you just pretty much pronounce your own demise. Because now the seed was not meant to be eaten. It was meant to be put down on ground that's been turned, removing the hindrances, put down in the ground so that in the future you can reap a harvest so that you can be a blessing to you, your children, your children's children, and somebody else's children.
Amen.
That's what seed does. But now, they planted it on some salty ground. Whoa, this thing, I got to get, no, that was me stepping on this cord. So they totally distracted. So they planted the seed on stony ground. Now, when they heard the word, they received it with gladness. But because it had no root, because it was planted on bad ground, it had no root in it. So now, what happened? It had no root. Let me see. I lost my verse. And so endured but for a time. After when affliction and persecution came. For what? For the what? The word said, did y'all get that?
Yeah.
When affliction and persecution comes, it does not just come, Ruth, because you're a human being and you're living life, but it comes for the word's sake. The word that you receive that you're supposed to plant in the heart of somebody else, when affliction and the persecution come, then you completely throw away the word and then no harvest comes.
Oh,
you didn't plant on good ground.
But
now, thank God the story didn't end there. And these are they which sown amongst thorns, such as hear the word, and other things entering in choke the word. Now this is the one that bothers me the most. Choking of the word represents probably more so family and close friends than anything else. See, the word is choked when it's given to people that you trust, and you think that they really have your best interest at heart. So you're really not paying attention because you trust the word with them. But now the word becomes unfruitful because when you're not watching, Nikki, they are choking that word off. Now, when you choke, you can't get air. When you can't get air, you can't what? You can't live. You can't breathe. So the only way that we can live as human beings is to have what? Breath in our bodies. So now, this represents cutting off the breath. The word of God is living and active. So what does it do? It makes the word of God dead. It just completely chokes the word out where it's not beneficial to you or anybody else. This is, to me, probably the most damaging because it happens most of the times when we have our backs turned. And the people that we trust the most will take that word and strangle that word. Now, here's the result of that. Because we didn't see it coming, how many of y'all know that's the worst kind of hurt that you can get?
Amen.
The one that you don't see coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one that, you know, sneaks up on you. See, this is what happens when the word of God is choked. You deliver it to people that you trust, but they don't value what you have given them. They don't value the word of God. They don't value, you know, the things that God has entrusted you with, so they pay no attention to it. So the word becomes choked, and it's not fruitful. But now, and I'm going to end here. I'm over 1 minute, so I'm going to end here. I know y'all Cushay has been looking at the clock. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it,
yes,
bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Look at your neighbor and say, well, that would be me.
Hallelujah.
You better shout it, that would be me.
That would be me.
So now, when the word of God is sown on good ground, as Bishop Thomas just told us, ground that is turned. I got two bishops in there, Bishop Thomas and Bishop Thompson. Go figure that. But when the word of God is sown on good ground, that means basically this. You know about to grow. Now, here's another thing, Trey. Sometimes we get in such a hurry to get a blessing that we don't take the time to do the thing so the blessing can come. So you cannot skip steps. You've got to see this thing through the end. Take the time to turn the ground. Take the time to prepare the ground. Remove the hindrances out of the way before you plant your seed. Remove everything that would block the word of God. You've got to move it out of the way. Because the word of God needs room to grow.
Yes.
It needs room to move around and yes. to expand. Because here's what happens. When the seed goes in the ground, now I don't know how it works, but I do know this. The seed's got to die. The orange seed has to die so an orange can become an orange. I don't understand how that works. But here's the thing that's exciting. Rashawn, when the seed goes in the ground, it knows what to do. Do y'all hear that? When the seed goes in the ground, it does not need instructions. It does not need, you know, a manual. Isn't that amazing? It doesn't need, you know, for you to talk to it every day. The only thing that a seed needs to do is to have sun and water. Because everything inside of that seed, you know, unlike us, that we're way smarter than seed, but seed yet knows how to go in the ground and be productive. But we as human beings, that we have the mind of God, we have the ability to speak, we can think, we can be creative, but we still worry about the word of God that's planted in us. But isn't it amazing that the seed goes in the ground and it just does what it does?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. How many of y'all know the word of God works?
Yeah.
Come on, stand on your feet. See, I've done that. I was 3 minutes over. My God, I'm getting so good, bro. Why don't you let me?
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.